Bandwidth for the COL Media Podcast is brought to you by Mevio at MEVIO.com.
Previously on Cubs Out Loud.
Good eye, mighties. I'm the Griff.
Is it true that when you flush a toilet, it goes, was it counterclockwise or clockwise?
Okay, this looks much better. I got a price of $19,727.
Book the ticket.
You didn't have any barbecued kangaroo or fried wallaby or something like that?
Because we're not talking about cum, all of a sudden John is not interested.
Which is cuter? Two balls, one ball, or three balls?
Not that I ever intend to suck my nephew's cock, mind you.
Hitchies!
Don't stick around.
By the way, I think that should be drink-worthy as well, every time JJ exasperatedly sighs.
Good times or just good times?
I think someone needs to go out and throw some shoes at Reverend Briggs.
Blagojevich.
There you go.
I just call him Governor Douchebag.
He's actually not an unattractive guy, which is most sad.
Frankly. Have you seen his hair?
Please wait while Jeff returns. Your podcast is important to us and will resume shortly.
Disclaimer, not good for breeders.
Christmas is coming in just 2 weeks. The trees are lit and the music is playing. Children searching the sky for snowflakes, making their list and softly praying. But some of us will be lonely this year, spending Christmas alone. Some of us lost a loved one this year, but their memory lives on this Christmas. Season of joy. Remember this Christmas. It's more than trees and toys. Everyone has a special memory of Christmases gone by. Writing letters to Santa and dreaming of sugar plums through the night. That special gift that you got 1 year, or maybe one that you gave to someone that you would love so dear. Its cost to you outweighed by the joy you share that Christmas, a season of
bells.
It's December 23rd, 2008. I'm Jeff.
And I'm the Griff, a.k.a. Kudzu Interruptus.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Indeterminate Length, episode number 46. Probably the nice, calm, good time to have a spot of tea while listening show. That song that I just played was Remember This Christmas by our good friend here in Austin, Nikia. You can actually download it free from his site at nikia.net/Christmas. Check out all of his music at nikia.net.
And that's a very nice song. It's actually a song that I don't think I would get sick of, unlike the myriad of other Christmas tunes that have been bombarding my ears today.
And one thing about it is it's not religion. It's about not religious. It's not even Santa Claus-ish, you know. It's just kind of the spirit that Christmas was kind of meant to, based off of, you know, what's the name of that movie that they play every year? It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, actually, my favorite Christmas movie, and I think I mentioned this last week, is Miracle on 34th Street, mm-hmm. which I also think is kind of the spirit of Christmas, what it should be anyway.
One of my favorite Christmas movies is actually called Santa Claus the Movie, not The Santa Claus, Santa Claus the Movie. Have you seen this? It's awesome.
I think I have seen it. I know I didn't see it this year. It might be a few years, but I think
I have.
See,
I don't know if they play it every year or show it every year.
Well, but you have to realize my mom has just about every Christmas movie ever recorded.
Oh.
And slowly I'm building up my collection as well. My mother is a Christmas freak. To give you some idea, they have 2 3-foot nutcrackers and 2 6-foot nutcrackers that Holy generally crap. Get put out every year. Yeah, now this was when they had the house in Houston that kind of supported it. They didn't really decorate this year, from what I understand. But they had 2 Christmas trees, and I mean, she is just all about Christmas. And I keep wanting to put lights on the outside of their house, and my mom says I can do it, and my dad says over my dead body. so this is really her season. And I'm actually a little bit sad tonight because we're not going to be celebrating it kind of as we normally would. And I can mm-hmm. tell that's kind of making her sad. So as a good son, you know, I'm codependent, so I have to be sad too.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. It's cool. It's had me doing a lot of thinking. For example, normally our entire family gets together, and that consists of me, my parents, my grandparents, and my aunt and uncle and their daughter. And we all exchange Christmas presents, and there's got to be over 100 presents under the tree.
Wow.
And this year, the aunt and my side of the family, decided not to exchange presents. So that made shopping a whole lot easier. I basically have done 2 Amazon orders. My parents and I have no idea what to get each other, so we're going to work it out sometime after Christmas. And then my grandparents always get gift cards anyway. So it's had me thinking about the meaning of Christmas aside from the commercialism that we seem to get trapped in every year. And, you know, it's kind of a cool concept when you start thinking about that stuff.
So do you have any – what were your traditions? Like, did you try to do the basically the same thing every year? Or what did your family do?
Yeah, I mean, so we all opened our presents on Christmas Eve. And something I should mention is my father's birthday is also tomorrow, Christmas Eve.
Oh, nice.
So from the time you wake up until 6 p.m., it's his birthday. at 6 p.m., all bets are off, and we generally would have Christmas Eve dinner, which consisted of just a buffet of things from lasagna to, you know, ham with the little cloves in it and champagne. And you just kind of gorge yourself there. And then one of the kids would start getting rambunctious and want to start opening the presents. And so we'd sit down and just open the presents Christmas Eve. Obviously, Santa came for me on Christmas morning through maybe age 11 or 12. I remember knowing that there wasn't an official Santa a year before Santa stopped giving me presents. and being the little shit that I was, I didn't let on that year so that I would get the presents.
Brilliant. It didn't quite work, though, did it?
Well, no, I got the presents that year. And then, you know, like in January, I was like, you know, I don't think there's a Santa. And my mom looked at me like, are you fucking kidding me? And then so, you know, you'd open the presents whatever time you get up in the morning. And then Christmas, we have a good meal, which might be a turkey. My mom might make Thanksgiving all over again, or, you know, make a roast beef or something like that. And being, you know, I don't know if this was a Northern European thing or if everybody did it up until mid-80s, but we would sit around the dinner table for maybe 2 hours. I would be eminently bored, but my grandfather and my father would talk politics or whatever the news of the day was for 2 hours. And you'd kind of continue eating for 2 hours, just little bites here and there. So it kind of brought everybody closer together. And then, you know, after that, we'd go and visit my other grandmother, who's been passed away now for 20 years at least. And that was kind of it. Christmas Day was never really the special event. It was always Christmas Eve. And I think that came from my mom's Finnish upbringing. So how about you?
We have our traditions have tradition of what happens over the Christmas days has pretty much stayed relatively the same, even up till now. I mean, now I've moved away. My brother's moved away. My sister's only an hour and a half away, so she'll drive down home. And so my mom, dad, and sister will be there. And then my brother and I are doing our own thing. And my case, unfortunately, I'm working 5 hours, and a bad 5 hours. It's not like 5 hours at the beginning of the day or something, or at the very end of the day. It's like smack dab in the middle.
Nice.
And so what we did was we didn't open our presents until Christmas Day. We have on Christmas Eve, maybe I'd be working or something, and then we'll have dinner, which is usually spaghetti dinner. After dinner, we go to go to church for the Christmas Eve service. We come back home, and actually, normally we would go up to our friends, the Roars, for a little bit to socialize with some families, friends of ours. And then we'd come back home, and usually we would open one small present on Christmas Eve. Usually ended up being our presents from my Aunt Jean, which were always socks. There was a point where she got me some nice warm socks that I really, really liked, and I'd wear them the next day. So we go to bed, Santa would come, and I mean, we had a time, as I said last episode, no one ever told me that there wasn't a Santa Claus. I just kind of figured it out. We didn't say anything about it. We just kind of knew, we all knew. But we always appreciated the idea of Santa Claus. So we always had have Santa presents. So there would be so many presents under the tree. We'd go to bed, we'd wake up in the morning, and there's more presents under the tree.
Nice.
So we still kind of kept that spirit up. In the morning, though, us kids weren't allowed to go out into the living room until we were dressed, showered, and our beds were made.
Wow, they made you shower on Christmas morning?
Yeah, we had to be clean.
Wow.
We had to be dressed, and we had to have our bed made. So, all of those. That kind of loosened up as it went along. But, and eventually
really didn't care that we would come out anyways. Then we'd start off with my mom would bake blueberry muffins, usually just from a box. We'd make Orange Julius, a recipe we had from when we lived in Saugerties. We'd open our stockings, and we'd go one at a time. So we would go from youngest to oldest. So I would always open mine first because I'm the youngest, my sister, then my brother, then my dad, and then my mom. And then usually by that time, the muffins were done. So then we'd go have some muffins. Then we'd come back and we'd open presents one at a time, youngest to oldest. And we'd go through them. And one of us would be an elf and be sneaking under the tree, pulling out presents and sorting them out, making sure everybody has a present when their turn comes or what have you. And occasionally we get interrupted by a call and be from some, like one of our aunts or our grandparents, and say, "Hi, how are you? Merry Christmas." All this. So we had a very family oriented time. And this is, and usually we're done opening presents by like 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Cause my brother would be the, but my brother is always the most excited. So he usually gets up first. My sister's a snooper. So when we have presents under the tree, she would always be snooping. I was the good one. I never snooped, and I slept in.
See, it's interesting to me because I wasn't allowed to open anything until the adults were awake. But I was allowed to go down there. I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, obviously even now, my parents didn't care if I made my bed. Neither of us made our beds. And I didn't start showering every day until probably I was 9 or 10. I used to get, you know, semi-weekly baths. So depending on how much I stunk or how much grass stain I had put on my body, my mom would throw me in the tub. although I don't remember when that ended. I could not tell you the age that my mom stopped bathing me and I kind of took over. So, yeah, I didn't have to shower, didn't have to make my bed, but I did have to sit there waiting. And usually not too long because my dad always used to be up by 7 or so. And the one thing I did leave out is an ex-uncle of mine used to make the best French toast. So that would be our breakfast, as he would make French toast. And I guess we had bacon or whatnot. And yeah, just kind of sat around. And like I said, Christmas wasn't the big day. It was more Christmas Eve where we might start opening presents at 7:30 or 8 and go to 10:30 or 11. Because for some reason, this family has always just gone overboard on presents.
Lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't say there were good presents. I just said presents.
Yeah. We didn't get a Nintendo until like 1989 or something, like soon, like just before they stopped doing the Nintendo. And we never got an entertainment system after that. So,
yeah. One of the problems with our family, or maybe any family, and certainly these days, is I don't have a list of small little things that I want. I have, like, you know, I want $400 to build a media center server. Well, you can't really put that on a Christmas list too easy. So our problem was we would buy the bigger things we want, and then, you know, you put the things down like, oh, I want a new robe, or my dad wants a new razor. His big thing is he would order stamps every year that would be delivered sometime in January because he's a stamp collector.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you know, my mom would get whatever she wants. And then when we exchanged with my aunt and uncle, it was just, you know, not little trinkets, but it was little stuff. It was never stuff that, like, made your eyes light up as a kid. Although I do remember the best present my aunt ever gave me was my Ziggy sleeping bag.
Ooh.
I was actually allowed, and I don't know how they pulled this off, but the year I got the Ziggy sleeping bag, I was allowed to sleep under the tree in the sleeping bag. So if you can picture a little Keith curled up in a Ziggy sleeping bag under the tree.
That's great.
You know, and Santa still came, so I don't know if he drugged me or what happened, but I woke up and there were presents the next morning.
You get locked in by all these presents and have to plow your way through.
Mommy, help. I'm trapped.
Keith? Keith? Where are you?
I'm in here.
Keith?
I'm in here.
So this year I am in West Palm Beach, Florida. My grandparents actually live in Lake Worth, Florida, which used to be, it may still be, a big Finnish community down in the south of Florida. Mm-hmm. My aunt and uncle and cousin couldn't make it because my aunt actually recently had a double mastectomy, and her doctor said, yeah, you're not flying to Florida. She lives in California currently. Mm. So obviously that was a huge load on her mind, and that's kind of how we decided not to exchange presents this year. She has suggested using Skype to try to video conference tomorrow, which would be a great idea if my grandmother weren't completely losing her mind. It's very unfortunate, but she's reached that stage of life where, you know, we're probably going to wind up putting her in a nursing home shortly after Christmas, because from one minute to the next, she may know who you are or may think you're a big giant thug.
Well, here's a question for you. I mean, is it more of, would it be more that she just needs assisted living? Because my grandmother went in, who suffered from Alzheimer's, we got her into an assisted living center instead of a nursing home.
Yeah, and it may be assisted living. I'm not, luckily, the one dealing with the details, so I may be getting the terms combined or confused.
Okay, that makes sense. That's all right.
But it's really weird. I'm actually considering shaving off my goatee for the first time since I was 18 or 19, thinking that she might recognize me more with a smooth face. Because apparently she's been carrying a picture of me when I was in like first grade around to the house with her. So she remembers who I am, but then she looks at me and she thinks I'm there to rob her. Or, I mean, you know, obviously she doesn't really think that, but she has no clue who I am most of the time. Which is, it's kind of sad, but at the same time, I've kind of resigned myself to it. So it's very weird not feeling any sort of emotion about it other than just being kind of sad for her. But, you know, who knows if she even knows that she's kind of locked, you know, locked away right now.
Yeah. And I've gone through a similar situation. So.
Yeah. So I mean, my other grandmother went through the same thing. Now, I was a teenager, so they kind of spared me from what happened. But apparently she got real bad off to the point where she was actually in an elderly home. It wasn't assisted living, but there was constant security. There was help. There was a chapel there. But I guess one day, you know, my dad went over there, went out onto the balcony to smoke, came back into the balcony, and she was like, who are you and where'd you come from? So she kind of went through the same thing, too. And so that means that by the time I'm like 70, I'm going to be doing the same thing. I'm going to have lost my mind and been pooping my pants.
Oh, don't say that.
Well, no, that's probably not true. I mean, I'll probably have died of prostate cancer by then. I have bad genes, man. Bad genes.
Yeah. You should just buy new ones. Anyways.
Yeah, but the point is, for me, Christmas really these days is about being with my parents. More than anything. I mean, I miss my aunt and uncle, but if I weren't with my parents, I would be a lot more, I don't want to say devastated, but insert a good word here.
Yeah, and you know what's strange for me is what I want to hold on to those Christmas traditions. You know, I could give or take the whole church part, but the spaghetti dinner, the opening a small present, the socializing with families, the waking up and Santa's come and all that type of thing. I really liked that, enjoyed it. That's one of the things I liked about Christmas, because everything was so well, there was no problems, it was just fun, you know. And it wasn't like uber exciting fun, but it was just a fun time. And that's one of the things I liked about this time of year. However, on another end is I myself, if I never see my parents again, I wouldn't care.
Wow. Okay.
I've gotten to a point with my family. I love them in the they're my family sort of way, but I could take them or leave them.
Now it's interesting. I wonder if it's because I'm an only child, if maybe that's why I necessarily grew closer to them. I mean, who knows? Now, but why do you say that? I mean, have your parents done things in the past that, you know, I don't want you to lay down on the therapy couch, but is there a reason for that? Or is it just that you've matured to a point where it's like, take it or leave it?
It's more of, it's the gay thing. It's
okay.
You know, they love me because I'm their son, but they don't accept the fact that I am gay. I mean, if I had a boyfriend and when I go to Christmas, I'm bringing my boyfriend with me or partner if we've gotten to that level. And if they won't let me bring them, then I won't come and I don't care. I will still send them presents because that's what I believe in Christmas. But yeah, if I never see my parents ever again, they don't come. They don't have to come visit. I don't care. I don't feel any compulsion to really visit them.
So, now, do you have any desire to someday, you know, 10, 15 years down the road with your partner, have your parents there to host Christmas at your house?
I would love to.
Okay. Do you think they
honestly
would come?
Honestly, I don't know. I would assume I don't know for sure, but I think they would because it's our son is inviting us to we're going to come see him because they love their son.
Okay. Now it's interesting. In contrast, it may be more. I've had at least two boyfriends present during Christmas and it may be four boyfriends. I'm not even sure. And I don't remember if I really asked permission or not. I mean, I guess that goes to my coming out, which was, look, you're going to deal with this. And I guess I was the same way where I didn't care if they had a negative reaction and they knew that. So they had no choice but to have a positive reaction. If that makes any sense.
It's one of those things where I don't feel comfortable with my parents anymore.
Yeah, I can understand that. Is it a religious thing? Is that why they don't enjoy the gay thing so much?
I don't know for sure. I don't think my dad is very religious at all. My mom's more religious than he is. But I don't know. We're one of those families that if we don't talk about it, it's not there. Everything is fine.
Okay.
And I'm not just saying my parents. I'm also saying myself. I do that too. It's where of I just don't talk about it and just leaving it alone inside. We know it is and just. Leaving it alone, not talking about it. Everything else is working fine, so we're just going to stick with that.
That's interesting. Now, when did you come out to them? When? What age were you?
18, 19.
Okay, so it's been almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Now, did they ever meet Carl when he was alive?
Yes, they actually came down and visited.
Okay, so that's sweet. How did they react?
They just kind of was like, he's another guy.
Okay.
My Carl and his friend Mark, who was here at the time, they had gotten the impression that I can't remember what was going on. Maybe it was just because I was used to how my parents spoke that they basically said I was stupid. That I was dumb.
Huh.
And I mean, they didn't like flat out say it, but the way they said things and I didn't realize it. And it almost, when I heard that, because I trusted Carl with all my heart and, it hurt.
Well, see, so were they saying you were dumb because you were with Carl?
I don't know.
Because I, you know, I'll be honest with you. There is one ex of mine that as soon as we broke up, they like applauded. They had never liked him from the beginning. They didn't understand what I was doing with him, blah, 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 blah. But they were very much of the opinion of never to interfere. So I was wondering if it was maybe they just didn't like Carl for whatever reason, not saying he was a bad guy, but, you know, not everybody gets along together.
Mm-hmm. Now, and they only really met him for like 2 minutes. And I rave about Carl.
Wow. So. That's unfortunate. I mean, I hope that changes at some point, and I'm sure as they get older, it will. I mean, at some point, your mom is instinctively tuned to just want to see you happy no matter what it is. I would like to believe that.
And I believe that, too. I mean, if you look at her side of the family, I mean, my eldest cousin on that side of my family is gay, too. Just also happens that he's a bear, too. and he's actually brought his ex over several times. Not when he was an ex, but so they've been over. And the cool thing, the strange thing about that side of the family is there's four girls on that side of the family, yeah, or sisters, you know, my mom, and she has three sisters. The oldest, of course, had my oldest cousin, Eric. Then there's Mary, who's the second oldest. Then there's my mom. Then there was Jean. And the funny thing is that the odds, I don't think, are as accepted of the whole gay thing as the evens are. Because I don't remember if I talked to or if Mary emailed me something, but she was so supportive of me. She said, well, it says you're gay, so what? Who cares? That's just you. I hope you find a good boyfriend. You know, so Mary was very accepted. And then Jean's just the uber liberal of the four girls. And so, I mean, she was like flat out excited. I mean, she's not even religious. So, and the two that were least accepting of the whole thing were the ones who actually had the gay kids. So I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting. Well, I know when I came out to my mom, it was out of really being annoyed with her, actually, because she was pressing on me that, you know, someday I'll get married and have kids. And I was like, I won't, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, I think everybody remembers the moment. But one of the first the first thing she said is, and I don't know if your mom said this, is, you know, I've always had that feeling. To which I replied, then why are you so surprised and why did you need a cigarette right away? And then a few minutes later, she's like, well, you know, I mean, how do you know? Have you ever tried it with a girl? And I said, no, not really. Have you? And from that point on, she never, ever, ever questioned whether I was gay, whether it was a choice, anything like that, anything at all like that. So she was pretty cool with it. And my dad, being a scientist, he actually had a couple biologist friends, and, you know, he told them, and they basically went, oh, so he got the gene. And that just shut him right up. I mean, because, you know, they knew as biologists that it's not a choice. And he is a physicist, knew to trust them, And so it never became a huge issue with him. There were a couple times where, you know, one time he said he questioned his own masculinity, not being able to have a straight son, at which point I invited him over to watch me fuck someone and tell me if I was masculine or not. And since then, the only thing that I've heard is that it's a shame that I won't spawn and that I have such good genes. I'm really doing a disservice to the world not having a child.
And, you know, you can have a child. There's ways.
Yeah, and honestly, I hope to. I mean, one of the reasons I am somewhat relationship crazy, and I think I realized that today, which was kind of an epiphany, is that by the time I'm 41, 42, I'd very much like to have a child. And I'd prefer it to be natural, but if it's adoptive, that's fine. And I'm not getting any younger, despite what my hairstylist said today. Which is a different story. So, yeah, I very much want to have a kid, maybe two kids, and I think I would be an awesome dad. But I just can't seem to find the right person to have that kid with, and I don't want to be a single dad because, frankly, I don't really support single parent families like that. I if it's out of force, fine, but I wouldn't choose to do that necessarily to a child because I think a child needs two parents.
I agree.
So, no, I agree with you. I certainly hope to be a dad at some point and that my son or daughter never listens to Cubs Out Loud.
Well, also, actually, don't agree with me because I do not want to have children. The only children I want are my dogs. I don't think I would be a good dad at all.
Well, and I understand. Oh, I mean, not... Sure. Not ever. Like, so these biologists, friends of ours, they never had kids. They never wanted kids. Different people are different, and that's kind of what makes the world go around.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true.
So, but I've wanted a kid since I was 21, 22. That's kind of always been in my mind. And at first it was going to be by the time I was 35, I'd be married off and have kids. And I don't. Sigh. So to give you an example of how open my parents and I are, we check into the hotel tonight, and I semi-flirt with one of the front desk clerks. And we get to their room, and I said to my mom, I said, yeah, I could have totally had him if I wanted him, couldn't I? And my dad's like, oh, yeah, there's no question. So that's kind of how open we are, which is kind of cool.
That's great. I wish I had those type of parents, but
I wish everybody did. I mean, my story is atypical. Yours is not.
And mine is definitely not atypical because it's not one of those, oh, my family hates that I'm gay, so they kick me out of the house and I can never go see them again. No, it's like my parents want me back.
Yeah. You
know, They'd really love it if I just moved back up to Minnesota. That way I'm closer. But I also have this – maybe this is a different complex – is I also feel like they keep trying to control me. Like they didn't want me to move – first, they didn't want me to move up to the Twin Cities. I made a decision. I had a house all set up. Okay, so I didn't have a job, but I had – everything all set up. So I moved up there, got up there, actually got a pretty decent job. Got online, met Carl, flew me down a couple times. Then I said, I'm moving down with Carl, even though he's got cancer. And I moved down here because I wanted to be with Carl. And they were against both of those moves. I almost think that my parents just don't think I can do anything right.
Well, I think a lot of parents, a lot of kids feel that way about their parents. I don't think that's atypical. And I think as a kid, you kind of have to stop caring. And as soon as you stop caring, they'll stop trying to control. It's like once you assert your independence, I think they'll accept it. Now, I happen to assert my independence a hell of a lot younger than most people do. But, you know, it's not a gay thing. I mean, even in the straight community, you hear, you know, girls all the time saying, my dad will never approve of who I marry, or, you know, mama's boys, so to speak, that their parents never, or their mama never lets them go. And, you know, in some ways, I'm so close to them that I want to move closer to them. So you could say I'm somewhat being controlled by that whole family thing, too, although maybe not as directly. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're also more outgoing, more assertive. I'm actually really shy and introverted.
And
introverted extrovert. It's very strange.
Yeah, and who knows? I mean, maybe, you know, your next boyfriend will be the one that breaks you out of your shell, or is so extroverted himself that he kind of breaks their parents out of their shell. I think it was Baron Kennesaw was mentioning that his partner at one point had a better relationship with his parents or family than he does. And I've definitely seen that too. So it's, you know, it's the whole family dynamic. I realize that I am very lucky to have the immediate family that I do. It's pretty awesome. And that's why I'm down here. If it were up to me, I would be up in Atlanta. But if I were up in Atlanta right now, my mom would be very hurt by that. So I kind of didn't have a choice but to come down.
Well, you get to see your parents. And seeing your parents is a good thing. Let's move on.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are you doing for Christmas this year? You're just
this
you said you're working.
This year, pretty much tomorrow, I'm going to work. I'm going to run to Specs, grab some Christmas-ish beer, have some Christmas beer, play some WoW, have some holiday music playing in the background in iTunes.
Nice.
I even have a smart playlist for anything in the genre holiday. And
excellent.
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different versions of Santa Baby.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I've got.
I believe that is too many versions of Santa Baby. We're gonna have to ask you to delete two.
I have Kylie Minogue, Macy Gray, Madonna, the Pussycat Dolls, Miss Piggy. And believe this or not, I have two different versions of Eartha Kitt.
Wow. So is that your favorite Christmas song?
No, it just happens to be the one that I'm looking at. I got like six versions of Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I'm just looking at my list.
So my favorite Christmas rendition of a song is Joan Jett and the Blackhearts doing Little Drummer Boy.
Ooh. I wonder if I know
that. It is amazing turned up. When my parents used to have Christmas parties and I would DJ them, I would always play that at least like five times, and everybody loved it.
Little Drummer Boy. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different versions of Little Drummer Boy. I have Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, Etta Jones, Lou Rawls, Neil Diamond, and Pink Martini.
Turn on your drummer boy. Okay.
See, you know what? I actually do. I love the Neil Diamond Christmas album. I really do. And I actually do like Neil Diamond. Damn it. I like Neil Diamond. Except, I love his version of Happy Christmas, War is Over.
So
he does an amazing version of Jingle Bell Rock. But the one thing I can live without, and I wonder, maybe I deleted it. No, I didn't. Is his version of White Christmas. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
I hate that song. The other song I hate is Feliz Navidad. I cannot stand that song either.
See, and the thing with me is I like White Christmas, but I don't like Neil Diamond's version of it. I think he totally demolished it. But
I agree.
I've heard much better versions of the faster White Christmas. And actually, I think it was a store or something. I heard it over the... Oh, it was at Applebee's. And I heard it over the Muzak, and they were playing a faster version of White Christmas. But, you know, the Bing Crosby version from Holiday Inn is the version, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. The other I used to like Mannheim Steamroller, but I worked at Radio Shack when I was 19.
Ooh.
19, there goes 20. That. And the guy who was training me to be a store manager played that continuously on repeat for 8 hours a day. And I mean, I wanted to take the CD player outside with a sledgehammer and just smash it in front of his eyes, because it just got so repetitive.
25307. I know exactly what you mean. I worked I worked retail for like 6 years, and I know exactly what the 8 hour Muzak thing is. Oh, what I really hated was when they had the had those dolls with the, you press the button and they make noises.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I remember
those. Me Elmo stuff.
Yep.
Then they'd put those dolls right at the end stands at the registers, and you'd have people coming up pressing every single one.
I have been the person pressing every single one. I'll be honest with you.
Damn you! Damn you to hell! No.
So you mentioned beer, and something that was a pleasant surprise for me is that Delta Airlines now serves Leinenkugel Sunset Wheat, which is on my top 5 list of beers. You don't like it, huh?
It's in the category. You know what? It's in the category of the Blue Moon Belgian Whites type stuff, which yeah. I am totally not a fan of, and I think that Blue Moon Belgian White is the worst.
Well, I agree with that.
Fortunately, the Sunset Wheat is but still.
Well, my
Honey Vice. I'll take their Honey Vice, but
yeah, that's my favorite. I love their Honey Vice, but Sunset Wheat will do in a pinch. The other one that I really like, I like Magic Hat Brewing Company number 9, I think, is the beer. I remember I had one of those at Taco Mac, which is a local chain, and I posted about it on Twitter, and a day later they were following me, which kind of weirded me out. That was my first Twitter stalking. I was like, damn it, how'd you find out I said something?
Search.twitter.com. Or maybe surmise at the
exact. I mean, but I was a virgin then, so I didn't know that everybody was searching.
Surmise, probably surmise at that time.
So now, did you have anything like the gifts that you're going to open, presumably on Thursday? Are those items that you have requested from your parents, or do they just kind of send you what they think you want?
I don't know what there is. I don't know what I've received. Now, this is from both my parents and my sister. Our tradition is to send out a list, and then people get things off that list.
And okay, that's our tradition too.
So, like, there's one present that I got the other day, but it was shipped directly from the vendor, and there was no Christmas wrapping. So the package that it came in, I thought, was my startup swag stuff. And I felt like it's like, I thought I already got this month. And I opened it up and found out what it was. I'm like, oh, no, this is Christmas. This was like a few days after I gave them the hint that this is something I wanted. So I just kind of put it back in the bag and put it where I put all my presents. But everything is wrapped and it is in there. So most likely, and either it be something that I've said I've wanted or they know I want. It's not usually anything that's spectacular or anything. Usually something small like a CD or a calendar. I think one of the presents is a calendar. I can almost guarantee it. Unfortunately, it's not the Bear Films calendar, which I'm kind of sad about because, you know, I want that. But asking my family to get me that.
You wouldn't ask your sister for that?
Well, maybe I would.
Okay, I was going to say.
I don't think she would. Because my mom and my sister look at my list and she goes, do you got anything that would be more practical? Then I'm like,
oh, no. See, that's not the point of Christmas. Christmas is not practical.
It's because I'm always asking for like CDs and movies and entertainment type stuff. And I'm like, give me a CD. I like music. Like some music. So give me the CDs. Of course, I don't really listen to music much anymore.
Yeah.
Videos and stuff like that. Because I listen to so many podcasts. I don't ever listen to music, really.
Well, and I have an Amazon wish list that has all my DVDs and whatnot. And I pointed my parents to there in years past.
I always do that. I'm like, look, I try to keep this as up to date as I can. Sometimes I forget about it, so there might be a duplicate on there. Usually around this time of year, I go in and delete out anything I know I got. But
yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of sad. I mean, this year I don't think I'll have any presents under the tree to unwrap. But by the same token, I know I will get stuff that I want because I'll buy it myself and get paid back for it. But it is kind of sad in that way.
And one of the things I like is what I really appreciate if my extended family are going to send me a present, I want them to just send me a gift card. I don't really want them to send me a present. Just send me a gift card. I really appreciate gift cards because that means that they don't have to figure out what I want. They don't have to deal with that or anything. I can just go like – or something that is practical is a gift card. Because, like, I get a Target gift card. I can get some new shoes, maybe.
Well, and I agree. A couple years ago, when I got my first iPod, I told my entire family that's what I wanted, and I asked for Best Buy gift cards. And I got enough to be able to get the iPod and half of the extended warranty, I think. This year, like I mentioned, I'm trying to build back-end and front-end media servers. So I have asked for Newegg gift cards. And, you know, so hopefully I'll get a couple of those anyway from friends and my adopted brother, which is another story. Have you ever sent anything through Amazon's gift service where they wrap it for you?
Yes. In fact, I receive stuff with that, too.
Yeah, so I sent I have an ex of mine that I've basically absorbed into my family. He's the brother I never had. And I think, you know, at some point we'll probably live in apartments just down the hall from each other. So I sent him gifts and I'm like just, you know, snuggling in for a nap yesterday. And I go, you dumb shit. You basically gave away what's inside the wrapping by what you put on the card. So I had to call him and said, whatever you do, do not open the Amazon box. Don't look at the cards. Because, yeah, I pretty much gave away what's inside.
See, I usually try to do, you know, some cute little one comment like, what did I do? I got my brother Gran Turismo, I think. Gran Turismo 5. It was a present he had on there. I wonder if I have record of it. I probably do. And I put on there, don't drive too fast or something like that. On the card.
Nice. Well, so like mine was, I mean, if I had gotten him a travel router, basically what I put on the card was, I hope every time you surf the web from a hotel, you think of Christmas 2008.
Brilliant.
I mean, it's obvious what the fuck it is. So, yeah, I was like, don't open the Amazon box. So I get a text message earlier tonight from him through, you know, he has AOL and he text messages me and he says, can I open the box, please? Please, I'm dying here. Can I open the box? And I'm like, no. No, you cannot open the box.
Oh, wait a minute. I put it was Gran Turismo 5 Prologue and it was put the pedal to the metal. Is what I said on his card.
Okay, so that doesn't give it away. That's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. But yeah, I couldn't believe that I did that. But at least I remembered.
Yeah, I'm very careful about my what I do. I love this one. I think I was actually pretty clever this year. On my sister's card, I put on, and try to figure out what I got her. I go, Heather, it doesn't eat cheese. Merry Christmas, Jeff.
You got her a wireless mouse?
Close.
Okay. It's a wire.
It's a wire.
Okay. Yeah.
But I mean, pretty close. Yes. So I said that. So, but that's okay. Then I said, my mom is, here's something saucy for you.
Oh my God. What?
This one would be sent her,
yeah, you wouldn't have sent her like a six pack, would you? No. Get sauced. Here, mom, drink up.
No, I didn't get sent her a six pack. I actually got her, and this was on her Amazon list, a 1-quart pour saucier.
Ah, very nice. Your mom has an Amazon list?
Yes.
That's too cool. I thought it was cool when my mom followed me on Twitter this year. So back earlier in the year, I got stuck in Cleveland for a couple of days during a blizzard. And I told her that I'd be doing status updates, and you can follow me at twitter.com/thegriff. So like a month later, I post something like, oh crap, I'm getting another cold. 5 minutes later, my mom text messages me, go get some NyQuil.
That's awesome.
It freaked me the fuck out.
See, I'd almost wish. See, what I had a similar experience recently, because I told my family about that. I got my own website. I scored my name.com. So I've got jeffreyanderson.com. There's a link in the About Us page of Cubs Out Loud. And one of the things I have on there is my Twitter feed, powered by Twitter tools. So I had posted on there that I thought I had some blisters on my toes, and I didn't know why. And next thing I know, actually a day or two later maybe, my brother says, I noticed that you said this. You should probably have that checked for such and such. And the blisters are gone and stuff, so I'm not too worried about it. For such and such. And I think part of the reason is because he works as a medical records specialist or something.
Okay.
And so he was trying to make a, you know, you might have something, so go check it out type thing. So wow. That kind of was freaky, although he has commented on a couple of my posts, like when I talked about Shirley Manson being on Terminator, he said something. But wow. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out a layout that I really like for that site. Anyways.
So I have a suggestion for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can take it or leave it, but I think, did you say your sister is kind of cool with the whole gay thing?
Oh, she's like totally cool.
Yeah. Does she know about the podcast? And if not, my suggestion is that you send her a link to this particular episode and, you know, kind of let her see what you do behind the scenes, what she might not see now that you're living far away from home.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll track her down. I'll track her down and do it.
Good luck. Good luck with that.
Hey, I'm part Italian. I can find anyone.
You can find anyone.
Exactly.
You can come some new shoes.
Very nice.
Well, this is actually a pretty good show.
Yeah, actually. And I'm not interrupting John this time.
Woo! Let me finish.
I listened to last week's episode on the plane. I listened to most of it. I mean, it was like 5.5 hours long, so obviously I didn't listen to the entire thing going from Atlanta to South Florida. But
It was 3 hours long. Didn't you see what it said in iTunes?
So every time he says, let me finish, I think we need to make that a drinking game thing as well.
Okay. I think you said that in the episode.
Did I? No, I
no,
said
no,
the
no,
exact...
You had the gasp.
Yeah, I think we can do it to any guttural sound uttered by JJ. So if it sounds like he's having an orgasm or an exasperated sigh or, you know, is throwing up in his mouth a little bit because we're talking about cum reductions, I think that's a drink, definitely.
If anybody wants to suggest anything for the COL drinking game, if you go into the COL forums, go into podcasts, there is an item in there for... called, it was on one of our episodes. Which one was it? COL 43043, the COL drinking game. I actually just added on there, drink every time I say I do have to say.
Yeah, yeah, I've noticed that. And, you know, that's the other thing is really here's what I would like all of our five listeners to do. This week, post on the Cubs Out Loud forum, cubsoutloud.com/forums, and we'll have a topic up specifically for episode 46. Post on that topic what would bring you back to the forums more often? Because it's kind of sad to me that we're not interactive, that it's just the four of us kind of talking out at the world. And it would be nice to get some opinions on whatever we're talking about. I mean, maybe this week, talk about your Christmas traditions, or, you know, for next week, we'll probably be talking about New Year's resolutions or goals or whatever we all do. So, you know, maybe put down what you're going to be doing for the new year and whatnot. And I think Jeff would agree with me. What do we need to do to get people commenting more? Is it a different forum style? Does it need to be easier to use? Do we need to send you individual checks? You know.
We probably can actually implement the individual checks thing. But well, if you want that, that would help.
No, I would certainly send out a check for 1 cent.
Okay.
You know, at some point I will probably, and I threatened to do this before, but probably hold a drawing for some sort of a gift card to one of the bear shops on the web, or not bear shops, but gay themed t-shirts like Wolf Tees or Ajax 63 or whatnot.
Sweet. That would be awesome. Also, I'd like to announce that in the near future, not sure of the date at this moment, but soon for our commenting system, which is run by Discuss, D-I-S-Q-U-S, you'll actually be able to log into that using your Facebook login, using Facebook Connect. Discuss has not implemented quite yet, but I've got our site set up so that once they do implement it, it will automatically be set up. So comment on any of our posts. Logging in using your Facebook Connect account, a Facebook account. So that'll be excellent. I'm very excited about that.
That would be very cool. Very cool. So now, do you have any what the fucks this week?
I do not. Do you have anything?
I thought of one and I don't really have it. I you know, I'll tell you in a music anecdote. I had, thanks to the 48 hours of flying that I did recently, I was able to book a first class ticket between Atlanta and West Palm and back. And so a gentleman who I refer to as in the top five of gay looking individuals that I've ever seen, complete with ladies' glasses and sparkly sides, sat down two seats behind me when his actual seat was 38F. So for the first time, I actually saw someone try to scam their way into first class, which I'm like, what the hell? What? How did you think you were going to get away with this? And then he acted confused, like, what? 38F? Well, that sounds like 5D. It was just ridiculous.
I'm the best person in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. How about picks? Do you have any picks today?
I do, and that's actually going to be Santa Claus the Movie. I think everybody should go watch that. Santa Claus the Movie.
Available on iTunes?
I don't know. That's a good question.
So we should see if it's available on iTunes and maybe look for the Amazon link, and we'll post the Amazon link.
Oh, I already got the Amazon link.
Very
way
good.
Way ahead of you. In fact, I actually posted the IMDb link in the
chat room. I saw that.
They've got a couple trailers there. Santa Claus.
So if it's available on iTunes, I will buy it and I will somehow hook my laptop up to the TV and I will watch it either tomorrow night or Christmas. Absolutely.
And it has Dudley Moore and John Lithgow. Santa Claus is played by David Huddleston, who actually looks very Santa Clausers. It's a very, very cute story.
Is it gonna make me cry?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay, good, good.
It's tear-jerker. But
well, while you're at it, if you will do me the favor of finding links to the original Miracle on 34th Street, maybe check if it's in iTunes. It's the one downside to running Ubuntu is I do not have instant access to my iTunes.
Oh no.
Go ahead.
Yeah, unfortunately the only thing that I could find on Amazon for the original Miracle on 34th Street is the colorized edition. I don't have it in black and white. But if you go to the last episode where you would pick that, the Miracle on 34th Street Special Edition, that's the original one. And I also link to the newer one.
There, you know, the original is the best, but they all have the message. So that's pretty awesome. So an update and warning, geek alert, John, mute now. I got my iPhone syncing through a virtual machine on Ubuntu, which just made my day. So I got all my Boston Legal sucked over. I got the podcast that I hadn't manually updated on my iPhone. So I'm actually loving the Ubuntu right now.
Now, if we could only get Songbird to work with the iPhone.
Yeah, I agree.
The only thing about Songbird is that it's not that easy to get podcasts onto there.
Well, I like iTunes because I can go and just purchase anything on a whim and it'll wind up on my iPhone.
That's what we need. Is we need iTunes for Linux.
And if they could integrate that somehow with Amazon, I would certainly use Amazon to purchase videos and whatnot.
Amazon. I love Amazon.
I really think we're going to get there in the next few years. iTunes is dominant right now. I think eventually we'll see an Amazon-led service. And I wouldn't be surprised if Google somehow partnered with Amazon to bring it to the world. And maybe it'll be Android only at that point. Who knows?
Then Google will take over the world. I hope not. I hope actually more Mozilla. I want to see Songbird to integrate with the, have like the integrated online store of, of Amazon. Maybe it gives like iTunes has this kind of special interface. We'll have that same type of special interface for Amazon using Songbird, and that way it's even a bigger. I mean, I think Amazon would make a lot of money because anything that could sync up with Songbird, which would be anything, and then you can also purchase music just through the regular website. So they're getting money not just from people using Songbird, but also people using the website.
Well, I agree, but what is Amazon kind of controls the key? Not Amazon, Apple controls the keys to the iPhone and the iPod, which are the predominant devices out there. How is Songbird ever going to integrate with either? Or are you suggesting that you're just going to have to run jailbroken?
You can sync your iPod with Songbird.
Really?
Yeah.
But you don't have to install a different firmware?
Mm-mm.
Okay, because I remember my adopted brother had Rockbox on his iPod so that he could sync with something else, I thought.
I think that really works with anything that you can sync Windows Media Player up with.
Okay.
So
you know, we have got to do a geek podcast at least bi-monthly in the new year.
Yeah,
we do. We've talked about it, and I know John would like to get the geek content out of this podcast.
He keeps the gamer content out of this podcast and puts it into his existential gamer podcast.
Exactly. Whereas we've covered beer, geekdom, and Cubs. And technically, shouldn't this be an episode of Cub Out Loud?
Yeah. Yeah, only one Cub. One Cub, one bear.
Yep.
Although I don't know. I may end up like growing into a bear. So I might actually have to leave the podcast eventually.
Oh, wow. Well, no, you can be bears out loud then.
Oh. But Tim would probably still be a cub, and who knows?
Well,
but
that's true.
JJ might have left. I don't know.
Exactly.
Years down the road. But
JJ will be doing the Let Me Finish podcast.
This is Let Me Finish with the John John.
I actually feel bad. I did not meet up with him while he was in Atlanta. I just had a busy weekend. And then, of course, I came down to Florida, so I didn't get to see him. But I am going to come see the three of you at least by the end of spring this coming year, if not before.
Woo-hoo!
It's going to happen, damn it.
Excellent.
So if I may make my geeky pick, this is going to be a recurring theme. As I mentioned last show, I was kind of forced to move to Ubuntu while I was in Australia. And last show, I was lamenting the loss of my Outlook, which is what I used for email, contact management, calendar management. So I have actually switched to Thunderbird. Mm-hmm. And a couple of extensions. So I use the Lightning extension, which provides calendaring. There's a provider extension, which provides sync support to Google Calendar. Now, they have a native sync support as well, using WebDAV, and I've not dabbled in that yet. I was a little leery about putting all my contacts and calendar up on Google, but then I figured there's really nothing incriminating, so why not? And then I use this new service called Nueva Sync, and we'll put a link up on the show notes as well. And what that does is sync your Google Calendar and contacts down to your iPhone as an Exchange server. So it basically emulates an Exchange server, which you can set up in your iPhone, and it syncs back to your Google Calendar. So for free, I now have sync between Thunderbird, Google, and my iPhone. Make a change to any one of those three, and it mimics on the rest of them almost instantaneously.
That is cool.
It is. I mean, it's actually, I now have more power than I ever did with Outlook.
Wow.
So this...
Excellent.
This unfortunate event with Windows is actually starting to pay off in spades, so to speak. I mean, It's amazing. I love this. You know, I was going to pay $99 for Mobile Me at one point. Same thing for free. I'm sure at some point they're going to monetize Nueva Sync. But I'll pay for it. But for right now, it works perfectly. And they're actually going to be doing Gmail Sync at some point too. They're working on that. They currently don't sync your email, but they're working on it. So, you know, and okay, so here's the cool thing about it is this obviously is not just an Ubuntu thing. So if you're running Windows, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mac has it as well. You can get Thunderbird, which is from the Mozilla.org project, which brings you Firefox. And by the way, Firefox should be your web browser of choice. You can download Thunderbird and get started with it, get the Lightning extension and provider extension, and all of a sudden you have sync all the way around, and it's really, really cool.
Excellent.
Hey, and I even got an amen to Firefox from Cookie Dav in the chat room.
Cookie from the Cubby House podcast.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it is, it's middle afternoon in Sydney, I would assume. Probably about, 2:30 coming up on Sydney time? Or Melbourne time?
Something like that. Anyways. Okay, so now I got to figure out, what was your picks?
I will send them to you after we're done with the podcast.
All right. And which we are done.
Well, let's do a quick shout out, if you don't mind. I mean, shout out definitely to Cookie in the chat room. Hey, mate, still wouldn't mind coming on your podcast at some point if you want to hook that up. To the two Ustream listeners we have, including the anonymous 25307, who's a first time listener, got our link from a friend of his on LiveJournal. And kind of a shout out to that adoptive brother of mine, Pete, up in New York City. I don't know if he's going to be listening to this, but I certainly wish I could spend Christmas with you as well, or, you know, have you with the rest of my family. Yeah, those are my shout-outs. My family, my friends in Atlanta. You know, Antonio and Matt and Michelle and all them. I will see you after Christmas at some point.
Excellent. I don't really have...
How about you? You have no shout... How about a shout-out to Tim Cub and John John, who couldn't make it this week?
I wish they could, but... You know, it's the holiday season, everybody's traveling, and some people can get on, some people can't. Actually, you know what? I do have a shout-out. There is somebody who said it. I had gotten a message from a guy on Bear City. Here he is. Jim from Bear City, who messaged me saying just wanted to let us know that he was a big fan of COL. Thinks we do a great job. We appreciate it. We really appreciate it, Jim. Thank you for the message. I did message him back. So I want to give a shout out to him. And I think that's pretty much it for the show.
Well, and let me mention that those listeners of ours, you know, tell your friends, spread the Cubs Out Loud around, as it were. Give the gift of Cubs Out Loud. How's that? Because we always love to have more listeners and more input. So with that, let's give them the email and the website and Twitter and Bear City and shoe sizes.
Well, we don't need the shoe sizes. But if you want to contact us, you can reach us all at podcast@cubsoutloud.com. Also email us each individually. I'm jeff@cubsoutloud.com.
I am thegriff@cubsoutloud.com.
You can find us both on Twitter as well as the COL blog at twitter.com/cubsoutloud. I'm /boxtech.
And I am /thegriff.
And you can also find us on Bear City and send us a message. We're all friendly and everything. And if you find us that we're your type, go ahead and click on your type. We appreciate that too. You can find me on there as Box Puppy.
And I am Bearall, B-E-A-R-A-L-L. And don't forget that is Bear City with an I at the end, BEARCITI.com.
I do want to – I'm going to briefly highlight ScandalFactory.com, ScandalFactory.com, which is actually run by our friends Blake and Brian from Atlanta. And Brian was in the chat room for a little while earlier, so actually a shout-out to him. Yep. And they've got – a store up for several different types of items, including COL merchandise, and maybe it's not working. Oh. Something happened to them. Maybe they weren't getting things or something.
Well, we will find out and
find out what's going on
next week.
See if we can get some. Get those shirts because I got a great shirt, great hat, great items. Got a little bear somewhere around here with them. So hopefully they'll get that up. And they had some other really neat shirts too.
Very cool. And, you know, a shout out to the woman who actually started to make my Christmas. A little rant here, but I am sick of everybody wishing me happy holidays. I'm sick of the political correctness. And so the security screener at Hartsfield today wished me a Merry Christmas. And it just made my day. I mean, when I was a kid, everybody said Merry Christmas. And you know what? It's Christmas. Merry Christmas to all our listeners, whether you're celebrate Christmas or Hanukkah or nothing. Merry Christmas to you.
And you know what? I almost agree.
You almost agree.
Yeah, I just don't want to agree with Bill O'Reilly.
Well, fuck Bill O'Reilly. You don't have to agree with him.
But that's all right. So we'll see about getting the t-shirts back up and running and figure all that stuff out. So thank you all for listening, and we will catch you all later.
Good night.